My name is Heather Demery, and my Indian name is Waterbird Song Woman. I'm not sure how to say it in my language, but I know it can be said in any language. The man who gave it to me said that. So, my tribal affiliation is Mandan, or the MHA Nation, three affiliated tribes, and I am currently residing in Bismarck. I've been here for 6 years, since 2008. So, 7 years.
7 years.
Yep.
Okay.
And I am currently a student at United Tribes Technical College. I have received an associate's in nutrition and wellness, and I'm a certified dietary manager. I'm currently in the bachelor program for business administration, and I will be graduating May 2015. And
okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Heather, and thank you for coming today and participating in this interview. And just to share with you, the intent of these interviews is to share those life stories of Native Americans who've had some type of challenge or challenges, and in being able to share that, and educating non-Natives and Native Americans about some of our social challenges that come with us, that we bring along with us, as that stems from historical trauma. And so here today we have you in a very good place. You're going to graduate with a bachelor's degree. You already have a 2-year degree. You've lived here for 7 years now. Share with us a little bit about where you grew up.
Well, I was born in Dickinson, North Dakota. My mother was from Mandaree, which is on the Fort Berthold Reservation, and the first 7 years of my life, I lived with my mother, so we kind of moved around a lot, and so those first years, I've lived in Mandaree, in Dickinson, Williston area, just kind of in the western North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Hazen and Beulah.
And can you share with me now, what do you know the reasons why you guys moved around a lot?
Well, my mother was an alcoholic, so we just moved around a lot, and then she, her sister had lived in Zap, so I know we lived there for a while, and she had a boyfriend from Kildare that she was with, for 5 years that I can remember, and so that's what it was like. she was wild, so we just moved around, and yeah.
And so that that was up to about what age?
I lived with my mom until I was almost 7. So I remember we got into a car accident that year, and I'd went to a foster home, and then so it was kind of like those between 5 and 7. I became like a child of the state, because my mother, I'd gotten taken away from my mother due to her drinking and the car accident. And so I had gotten placed in a home outside of Kildare, and eventually they contacted my dad, and then he had gone to court, and he eventually got custody of me.
Your father?
Yep.
Okay.
And that was between first and second grade, because I had gone to school in Beulah for first grade and then Wahpeton for second grade, but then I was in kindergarten in Wahpeton too. So we went to kindergarten in Wahpeton. We moved to Hazen for part of first grade, but then I went back to my dad's, and then went back to my mom, and then back to my dad's.
And your dad lives where?
He had lived in Wahpeton at that time.
Wahpeton is okay.
Yeah. So my mother was in a pretty violent relationship, and it was just real dysfunctional, and so that's why we moved around a lot. Her boyfriend had broke... I watched a lot of the abuse. Mm. He broke her arm, right in front of me. And, you know? Mm. And so I don't know. So she would just take off and drink. And then eventually we got into the car accident. And that was it was a very bad car accident.
And so then at what age then did you kind of start leaving your mom?
So between like 5 and 7, through the courts, my dad had eventually gotten custody of me. Because like from that point, like I was kind of staying with different relatives. Oh. And they were just trying to, I don't know. It was just eventually my dad got custody of me. I'm not sure exactly what. I seen some court papers. I think I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just that realm of my life. My mom partied, so I witnessed a lot of partying and just dysfunction, abuse, sexual abuse, like all that stuff happened at that time in my life, and that's why my dad had gotten custody of me.
Okay. And so you mentioned like sexual abuse. I mean, if you're comfortable talking about that or not, is that from your mom's boyfriend?
I'm not sure. I have blips, like different memory, like flashbacks of like, I can remember being in a room with him and his brother. And then I remember they had there was like porno on TV, but then I can just remember them covering my eyes and then I don't remember anything, you know? And then like I've witnessed stuff with like cousins, you know, because we were left unattended for a lot of times because our parents drank a lot. And so I just remember seeing stuff with my cousins and
cousins like fornication.
Yeah, like just sexual, experiment stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. And then babysitters and, yeah. And like when I used to stay with my grandmother, my mom's mom, they used to put us in the closet and we'd have to sit in the closet like all day. You know, and I didn't know that until I was talking to one of my cousins. I was always wondering why I had different memories of being in the closet, because, like, me and some cousins would be in there. And, like, I can remember different sexual, you know, stuff going on in there. But then, like, when I had talked to one of my cousins, she had said that they used to put us in the closet, like, all day while they drank. You know, and, like, her mom would say, stay in there, you know, don't come out, because, like, there would be a party going on in the other room. And
who would tell you to go in the closet, did you say?
Like my grandma or an aunt.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, and your mom?
My mom had just been, she would drop me off at my grandma and I would be there for like weeks.
Oh, and then so grandma was drinking too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like.
Okay. I see. Okay. Wow. That's just, I can't imagine.
I just think about it all the time, and I'm just like, man, like, it just seems so normal, you know? Right. Like, growing up in that lifestyle, that environment at that time, like, you just get used to it, because that's what you're born into, and you just think that's the way it is, and you know, just everybody takes care of each other. Like my cousins and I, we would just run around Mandaree, you know, just free birds and like no supervision. We'd be hungry, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know like when I would go stay with my dad, they said that I would always eat a lot because like I would always be so hungry when I lived with my mother. And then when I would go with my dad, I would eat so much and then I would throw up, you know, because like I was starved.
Unbalanced kind of thing. You were starved.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's traumatic. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's private information, and we appreciate those that are listening who have experienced these kinds of things, to know that you're not alone, and that these things are not acceptable, and you know, to talk to somebody, to go to a safe place, to kind of heal from these things. And so share with us, how have you healed from that? How have you moved forward from that up till today?
Yeah, it's been a journey. Like, I'm 34 years old, and I kind of have to backtrack, so then it all makes sense. So, like, if I explain, like, when I lived with my dad from the time I was 7, you know, I lived with him from 7 to 17, and you know, thinking that would be, it was a more safer environment, but then growing up too, like, it was dysfunctional because I had to deal with a lot of abuse there too, you know, mm-hmm. and my dad was an alcoholic, and I mean, he went to school, and he was a good person and stuff, but sometimes he would just take off because he had an alcohol problem too, you know, and so my stepmother had to raise, there at the time there was four of us, she had a son, and then she had two other boys with my dad. And, well, like, along the line, they had three boys together. But, like, it was, like, through that, it was, like, so dysfunctional, too. Like, because my dad would take off, and then my stepmother would be working so hard to support our family. And then she had to deal with me, too, you know, like an extra child and mm-hmm. whatever. And mm-hmm. so then she had, you know, it was really abusive, too, for that. And then just different stuff with that. But anyway, so from there, when I was 17, they were finally getting a divorce, and my dad had sent me off to California. And then during this time, I had gotten into a relationship, and it was an abusive relationship also. But it was like he had gone through so much in his life. You know, like, we shared, like, some sort of emotional bond, you know, so it was, like, and then he was, like, my first relationship, whatever, so then mm-hmm. it was, like, we shared our stories, and it was just, like, we had that bond, mm-hmm. and, but then, like, I spent the next, like, 10 years of my life dealing with, you know, trying to both move forward in our lives mm-hmm. and help each other and, you know, like, try to find a better way of life, mm-hmm. but then he couldn't get, you know, he had alcohol problems and drug problems, and then he was stuck, but then I continued to move forward because eventually we had a daughter, and I always had it in my head that I had to get an education, mm-hmm. although I dropped out of high school. Mm-hmm. I was a senior in high school. I was a good student, like, everybody knew me as, like, you know, I was so smart and whatever, mm-hmm. but it was just, like, because so much was going on in my life, and, like, I don't know if I had withdrawn or anything, but it was, like, just everybody trying to tell me what to do that I dropped out. And I was, like, I know if I go to college, whatever. And I knew I could get my GED, and I got it in, like, a couple days. And mm-hmm. then that was, like, the next year I had gotten it. But, like, I also worked at the grocery store that time, too. So, like, mm-hmm. it was, let's see where I lost my train of thought.
Well, you mentioned you got into a bad relationship.
Yep. So, like, everything in this bad relationship, like, everything that we were dealing with in his home, because I had lived with him when I came back from California, because, like, when my dad and my stepmom got divorced, I had moved out to California with an aunt, but it was right before I turned 18. I was, okay. Because I was a senior in high school. And then they were getting divorced, and then I moved out with my aunt that summer before my senior year. So then I had gone to college I'd started my senior year in high school in Sacramento for, like, the first semester, but then I turned 18 in November. So then I moved back to Newtown right before I turned 18.
Okay.
And then I had stayed with an aunt until I turned 18, and then I ended up moving in with my boyfriend mm-hmm. at the time. So, and then he was the one that I'd been with for, like, the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so moving into his home, their family, his mother was an alcoholic, and he was an alcoholic. He was, you know, he had been drinking since he was, like, between 14 and 15, I think he said. Mm-hmm. But it was just connecting and, you know, trying to, I don't know. It was just, like, I was really codependent at the time, trying to fix mm-hmm. him. But then it was, like, we shared that bond, and going through all of the, our home life there, because his mom would take off for a couple weeks. She had two kids, and so then I worked. And I did that for about a year. And then, like, but then within that year, too, we kind of, like, would try to get away from that. So then we would go and live with my mother in Kildare. Then, like, we moved to Minot, because during this time, it was like, that's when I was kind of like back and forth. Like I started college in Dickinson and then it didn't work out because like our home, like he was really mean mm-hmm. and I couldn't keep a job because of the abuse and the dysfunction. And then so eventually I had moved to Minot and then that's where I had actually like finished a semester of school. And then then I got pregnant with my daughter while we were living in Minot.
And how long were you guys together by this point?
By this point, I had, I'd gotten pregnant with my daughter in 2002. I had her in 2003. So I was about 22.
Okay.
And then,
And how many years into the relationship would that have been?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like the first 5 years before my daughter, it's like we drank and then I try to help him get, you know, it was like we would try to be like, we tried not to drink and then we would drink. And then it was just like a cycle that happened over and over. And it was like, my family was so upset. Like I didn't have no contact with my family eventually because I'm sure they would hear stories and stuff because it was like pretty violent. Mm-hmm. And he had almost taken my life a couple times, like choked me so bad to where I couldn't talk for 3 months afterwards. And it was just so much stuff, just like running with him, that abuse that had gone on during that first 5 years before my daughter. And I don't know why I stayed, you know, like, because he would take off and then I would wait in our bedroom, you know, at his house, or I'd go and eat with, you know, just in his home mm-hmm. and I would wait mm-hmm. and then he would come back and then I would get mad and it was just so violent, you know, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. but then I can remember going through like a very extreme depression for like 3 months. Like I laid in bed for 3 months and like nobody came, you know, like mm-hmm. my family by then had, you know, just backed off because I always went back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but I mean, they were always there, like when I would go away. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. But I remember that 3 month, that time when I was in depression, I can remember having some sort of like epiphany. Like I had a dream, you know, and it was like, it was like a God dream, you know, mm-hmm. like a dream of faith where, mm-hmm. you know, like I can just remember seeing this. I can remember seeing this like stream and then like all these different rocks and it was just so calm and peaceful and that there was like this greater voice that just said, don't give up, you know, life has its mm-hmm. obstacles and, you know, it's like a river that just flows, you know, and you're gonna mm-hmm. go through all of this different trials, you know, mm-hmm. and so, I don't know, like, one day I just woke up, you know, and I, like, took a shower, and then it was like I just had to get away, and then I think that's when I moved to Minot and, you know, tried to pursue my education, and,
So, what age were you at by this time when you had this dream and this...
I was about 21, 22, okay. You know, like, between the time I was 20 and 22, it was like I was just trying to... get it together. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so how did that go from then on? Then you had this dream and so that kind of, I mean, did you take that serious?
I did, you know, because like, well, I mean, even though like I had that dream, there was still, you know, like I would still backtrack and I would party with my friends, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I could never be like, I would go and have fun and forget like all of this stuff that's going on. But then it was all inside mm-hmm. and it was like building up. And then like I would run into my dad. My dad would be out sometimes. I remember this one instance I ran into my dad and like he was right. They were going to take me home because mm-hmm. I was like, you know, they didn't want to party with me. And so I had to, because, like, it got to the point where I would drink and then I would, like, cry or, like, and then running into my dad that night, I just remember, like, I was just so mad at him, you know, for everything in my life, you know, like, he never stood up for me. He never
protected
me. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just listened to me, you know, but he never said anything about it, you know, he just listened. And, but I mean, like, I had gone through all of, you know, like, just that emotional stuff drinking, and it wasn't working for me. And then I had gone to college in Minot. So then I was just trying to get away, you know. I was just trying to break that cycle. And eventually when I got pregnant with my daughter, well, that was, okay, I'm going to backtrack again. Okay, so when I was going to Minot, I went to college, but then he had come, you know, and he, because I was staying in the dorms in Minot, and so he would come and, you know, tell me he loved me and try to, you know, like, get back into the relationship. And there was a point where we did go to, we were going to move to Bismarck. Like, I was going to quit school, you know, like, I was, like, just gave in, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But I didn't quit school this time, but then, like, we had come to Bismarck to look for an apartment.
And so what age were you at this point?
I'm 22. This is right before I got pregnant with Elena.
Okay.
And we had, we were driving, it was late, and I remember we were drinking, you know, because it was just, like, to deal with it. It's like, sometimes it would feel like if I would just, you can't beat him, join him, mm-hmm. you know, type right. of mentality, mm-hmm. and it was just like, I didn't understand why I kept going back, and then it was just like, I just wanted to make him happy too, you mm-hmm. know, and then I thought, well, hell with it, I might as well drink with him, you know, and then.
And can I ask something?
Yeah.
Do you think that there was a fear of losing him?
Yeah, like, it was like, I was so.
You join him, you were forced, you knew that if you made an ultimatum and say,
yep.
stop
yep.
drinking this way and we need to do good, come on.
Yeah.
You were afraid to confront that because he
I knew,
might not
like,
come along with
yep.
you.
Yep.
And you would lose him.
Yep. And
okay.
But I just didn't understand that at
right.
that time,
oh,
you know,
I know.
And it's
I
just,
know.
But it was like, yeah, but it was just like, I was just trying to do every angle that I could possibly to make the relationship work and so we could just move forward.
Yeah, I know.
But so when we were coming to Bismarck, we had gotten into a car accident because at that point, all of that stuff, it was just like, I can remember driving and we were intoxicated. And I remember we pulled over in Garrison to use the restroom. And I remember when we got in the car, he had put my seatbelt on me and I didn't know it. And we were driving along River Road mm-hmm. and we were almost to Bismarck. And along that road, too, I can remember I threw out some cigarettes, you know, and prayed because we were really drunk and, mm-hmm. like, trying to, like, make it safe, you know. But then, like, we had gotten into a fight while we were driving. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking that I was ready to go. I was so mm-hmm. sick of my life at that time. Like, I just didn't think it would get better. Mm-hmm. And I pulled the wheel of the vehicle and we got into a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit a tree going 65 miles an hour in a little tiny Ford Escort.
Mm.
And the car was, like, demolished. Like, I can just remember seeing it, though. I remember seeing it in slow motion. And I can just remember him, his arms. Like, when I pulled the wheel, it was like he passed out. Like, at that exact moment, it was, like, I was disassociated where I could see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he had let go, and then we were going. And I was just so ready to go. And we went, and I could just see all of the mailboxes, the street posts. I could see everything just going really fast, and we were heading to the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally he, like, woke up, and he just grabbed the wheel to try to get control. And then we hit the tree, and I seen him hit the steering wheel, and it just went in. I seen the windshield shatter, and it sunk in, but it didn't, like, break apart, but it just shattered.
Uh-huh.
And I just, can you remember my insides just snapping, and, you know, I could hear it, and I could just hear my breathing and my heartbeat, and I had grabbed the door, and I just braced myself, and I was ready, but then I didn't die,
wow.
You know, and.
So how old were you at this?
I was 22.
This is all during 22, so, because you were pregnant, you had.
No, I wasn't pregnant yet.
Oh, you were pregnant yet?
Yep.
Okay.
So this was before I got pregnant, and. But it was a turning point for me because I ended up going, we both went to jail that night. The ambulance came, but I didn't have a broken body, so they took us to jail. But I just remember I was so sore, and I couldn't even get into the cop car, and the policeman didn't even help me into the car. And, like, I was crying in excruciating pain, and then I just threw myself in the car, and we went to jail. And then I woke up in the detox cell, and I couldn't move, and they eventually, they gave me a wheelchair, and then his stepdad came and bailed us out, like, 3 or 4 days later. He got us both out of jail, and we went to Newtown for a couple days, and he just said we were so lucky to be alive. He said he seen the car, and it was like, there was, they couldn't even believe we walked away from that. So then I ended up going back to Minot, and in my head, I was like, I'm done. You know, this is it. I need to just move forward. I was going to get on birth control and just move forward. And then I found out I was pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so then...
This is when you're 22.
Yep. Still. So this is 22.
Okay.
So then I just, I continued school. I stayed in the dorms until that next semester, until I could move into the family apartments. And I just went to school there for like a year. But then like that following semester, I ended up quitting college. And then I moved to Kildare with my mother. And then...
So you're 23 by this time?
Yep. Because by then I had Elena.
Okay.
And so then I had quit college that... I don't know why I quit that. It was just hard because... I don't know.
Childcare,
yeah,
the transition.
Yep, and she was baby, and I just didn't trust anybody to take care of her, you know. And so then we went back and forth. We went to my mother's for a little bit, but I could only stay there for, I mean, because she lived out in the country, and she was like, I don't know. I just couldn't live with my mom for more than like 2 weeks, you know. And so then I would go back and forth between her and my aunt in Newtown. But then I could stay at my aunt's. I stayed there, and then I eventually I worked at the casino, and I was bartending in the evening. And then by then too, my daughter's dad had gotten on with a welding company out of Fargo, because my mom's cousin had gotten him a job. So he would go to work like. He would go for like a week and come back on weekends. And so he did that. That was his, he like left and did that. And then, so then I was kind of going back and forth, you know, because too, he was drinking and our relationship was unstable. You know, I couldn't deal with the, you know, like knowing that he was drinking and I was sitting at home and, you know, working. And I know he was working too when I think back, but
it was probably just, drinking right after.
Yeah,
that.
Drinking and womanizing, right. And like women would call, or, you know, the phone when he would come back, and I just couldn't deal with it. And then, so he was off working, and then I was going back and forth between my mother's and my aunt's. And then eventually I stayed at my aunt's and I worked at the casino, and I enrolled back in school at our community college for a semester. And then I can remember that New Year's, he had come back and he was like, let's move to Fargo. You know, he was like, we've got to make it work. We have our baby, whatever. And so we eventually moved to Fargo. And then we stayed there. Like, we moved, we had, this is the first instance we moved to Fargo. And then I'd gotten the apartment in my name, and I was taking CNA classes, and because I knew I couldn't work like a minimum wage job and survive and take care of my daughter and, you know, just be able to live. So I had gotten my CNA license.
Now your age, what is?
I'm 24. I'm about 23, 24.
Okay.
And so about this time I had gotten my CNA license, and I found a job and I was working, but then it was like, it was this, that, the abuse, you know, it was the dysfunction, the abuse and everything. It was bad. It was bad. It had become so bad to where, like, I couldn't do it with being a mother. And I had always told myself that when I had kids, like, I was not going to put my daughter through everything that I had been through. And, you know, although I told myself that, I could just see it happening. And so it was just like, I tried so hard to get away from it. And like, I would be holding, I remember one time where I was holding Elena and he hit me, you know, and I can just, I'll never forget. She was like 9 months old and she just stiffened up, you know, like, cause she knew something so scary was going on. And I just had to protect her. And it was just like, so then my dad had to come and like, get us, you know. And so I just left my apartment. And, like, there was so many times where I just leave my furniture, my apartment, everything. You know, I just take our clothes and I would, you know, go back to safety with a relative, you know. And then, but then, like, that lasted for, you know, because it was just, like, I always just had it in my head. Even though I went back home, like, I had to move away. I had to go and get, you know, I had to go to school. And it was just, like, such an energy where I was always trying to get away. And so then I eventually went back to Fargo and again with him. And he had, I remember I'd saved, like, I had almost $1,000 saved from bartending. And then he had wanted us to come back. And he was like, we'll make it work again. And, you know, and then he, they, like, with his company, they stayed in a hotel. And he was like, well, next week, you know, we'll go. You know, and we were going to file taxes that year.